Good evening and welcome to Star Psychics Blog Talk Radio. That's stars with a Z because we're special. I'm Stars Cast and I will be your host for tonight, taking your calls and setting up the reading queue for the second half of our program. This evening we will have another great topic, so please relax and enjoy. After our topic discussion, we will be ready to take your one question mini reading live on the air or in the chat room. For now, on with the show.
Hi, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Stars Cast. I think I got booted off my own page, but you can hear me anyways. I'm going to try to pick this back up again. Doesn't that just get you? My own page. How dare they, right? Oh, here we are. I came back in. Okay, anyways, I want to talk to you a little bit about Mystic Living today. And, of course, soon, maybe 3 or 4 days, I'm going to send the reminders a little earlier because it's the holiday time and a lot of the authors go away and you know how that goes. I mean, we're all hurrying and scurrying. I mean, I'm not really hurrying and scurrying, but I mean, I'm trying to line up everybody. And so I thought, well, usually I send it out on the 20th, but this time I'm going to do maybe the 15th, maybe today, maybe some tomorrow. Maybe some on Friday, so that they get a jump on it, but most of them know when it's due anyways. So that's that. And if you have anything, excerpt, poetry, you know, a book review. Well, my Jackie does the book reviews, but if you want to submit something to be reviewed, we can do that. And anything that you would like to go into the magazine, you send it to me at stars with a Z, cast, C-A-S-T like in Tom, at mysticlivingtoday.com. All the Z's. I know, you probably drives you crazy. Like, why did she call everything like that, stars and all, and her name? And, well, started a long time ago when I was on America Online. And I started as an astrologer, but I just didn't want to say S-T-A-R-S. I wanted it to be unique, and so it came. Anyways, also I want to talk to you about starswithazpsychics.com. We still have the offer for first-time clients, 3 free minutes, and then there's a special right after that in your account that you can, you know, you can do a special purchase. It's not as much as all the other range that we have. A lot of people do that. After the first 3 minutes, they'll go in and buy 10 minutes, which is great. I mean, it's all good. Tough times right now, I know. And before I bring on my guest, I want to remind everybody to be careful, safe. I know it's a drag. You got to wear your mask. And I know what you're going through. And those of you who are back to work, be careful. You know, if you're not feeling good, don't go in. It's not good. Don't do that. You know, I always give my little dissertation at the beginning and at the end. But anyways, I'm going to bring my guest in because we have so much to talk about. You won't believe what this man has done. Anyways, welcome, Charles Sean. How are you?
It's Shane, and I'm doing great, and thank you for having me.
Oh, well, it's my honor. Now, can we call you Charles? Do you like to be called that?
Yes.
Charles.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Right.
Call me Charles. Sure.
Yes, okay. Now, I think, well, I don't know. What is your preference? What do you want to talk about first, Charlie or the other organization? Yes, let's talk about your son.
Well, my son is Charlie, so I go as Charles.
Yes,
so,
okay. Shall we talk about Charlie?
We can talk about Charlie.
Okay, but I think your organization, the other thing you started before Charlie, if I'm right, before your books with Charlie?
I did not start the organization. Charlie was in the organization. It's been around for 40 years. I've been the director for 11.
Okay.
Called the Adaptive Learning Center. And it was a preschool program of inclusion for children with special needs.
Which is wonderful. And that was right up your alley, actually. Now, okay, let's start about with Charlie. How did you know that he was different?
Well, at 3 months, he wasn't lifting his head. And our pediatrician said, that's not good. Of course, he was our first child. So we didn't know that they would be lifting their head. And we just didn't know how babies with typical tone felt. So they did an MRI, they did a scan, And then they did an MRI, and they saw that Turley had a condition called agenesis of the corpus callosum, a whole mouthful. And
it
what
is.
That means is it is he did not have the band of fibers between the two hemispheres in the brain form. And that was already decided at 12 weeks gestation. So that's something they can see. And that then they looked at that and said, okay, he's probably going to be developmentally delayed. He's going to have some special needs. What they are, we don't know, because we really don't have a roadmap for what happens when kids have this experience. I mean, there can be high-functioning kids. There can be low-functioning kids. So we had to throw out all the books of what to expect your first year and just look at what Charlie could do. And that's kind of how all of this started. And that was at 3 months old. So we've been in this from almost the very beginning of his life.
Wow. How old is he now?
26. Hard to believe.
Well, it's hard to say it. 26. It's hard to believe how old my son is. And when I have to say his age, it's like, am I really saying this? Is it real, you know? Okay,
no.
So as he progressed, I mean, did he start to do other things? I want to get a little background of him. And then, of course, and I must interrupt myself and thank you for my books. Oh, they were precious.
Oh, you're welcome.
They are precious. Very, very sweet.
Oh,
he sent me some books, by the way, everybody. So, you know, and they're the sweetest books. And, but anyways, did he progress? I mean, did he start doing other things that were typical for his growth, I mean, his age, or did he just keep doing things?
He did not do anything typical for his growth or his age. I mean, one of the first things they said he'll never cross the midline. Well, he was clapping at whatever age he was clapping. I mean, so obviously, even though he didn't have a midline connection in the brain, somehow he was able to do clapping and have the left hand meet the right. And so, you know, they tell you all kinds of stuff. And that's where we learned we're just going to take Charlie as Charlie is and accept him for how he is and look at all the things he can do. And let's not focus on what he can't do, because Charlie is nonverbal. He's in a wheelchair. He's non-ambulatory. He's probably on a 3.5, 4-year-old level, developmentally delayed, very social. He has figured out what we call Charlie speak, which is signs and gestures. Most of them he makes up from association with individuals or events or people. So he signs. So he communicates prolifically. He's very social. He's a ton of fun, but it's just all different. It's just different than typical. And that was kind of the whole message of the books is, yes, it is different. But as one good friend of mine said, it's not bad. It's just different. And most people aren't used to different. They just all want to be the same. And he's not.
Yeah.
And it's brought a lot of joy and a lot of, you know, a lot of, what I would say, what I call the whole spectrum of experience. I have two other typical kids, and one's in college and one's out. And then I have Charlie, who's, as I say, 26 going on 4. And, you know, I got the full spectrum. So it's a gift and a blessing.
I know, but it must have been so difficult to know. And your concern and your worry, I mean, your first one, and your, oh, goodness, this is just a whole bunch to digest. But,
right.
But you know, as people will say, you know, God only gives you things that you can handle. Well, that may be true. However, I'm very spiritual, and I do believe that, but I think sometimes it can be a little much, you know. So how many years is it from Charlie and then the next one that you had?
It was 2. And had my daughter, and we wanted her to be as a role model for him. And people have said, well, weren't you worried another child with similar disabilities? And
are you there?
I am.
Okay. Do you want another child that might have disabilities? That's what the doctors told you?
Yeah. And so they were very concerned that we had one and would you have another? And we didn't. And my daughter and my second son is typically developing. They're typical, typical.
Right.
So,
right.
And they've been wonderful with Charlie. They are wonderful siblings with him, loving, play with him, tease him, have fun with him. They're great siblings. And we laugh because people say, well, you shouldn't tease him. It's like, we're siblings. Siblings tease each other. Yes, we should. And they do.
I know,
have fun
but
with him.
Yeah, I mean, I had an uncle. I would see him like once a year. He was in a wheelchair, but he could talk. Not real
right.
well, but he could talk. But he could never go do anything on his own, nothing. He was in bed or he had his wheelchair. He couldn't even move himself around. He had to be helped
right.
every step of the way. It's really strange when I think back. When you were talking, I was thinking about my Uncle Paul. I was afraid of him. I was a little girl. I didn't know. Nobody sat me
right.
down and said, well, he's okay. He's not going to hurt. Nobody did that. I mean, I just wandered upstairs in my
right.
grandmother's house.
Right.
But he knew my name, and he called for me because he knew I was going to come and see him. And,
right.
I mean, but he talked okay, but not okay, And, but
sure.
he scared me. I mean, I don't think I ever got over that fear of him. I think because
right.
nobody sat me down and said, like, he's different now, right? You can see that. And this is what's wrong. I mean, I guess they thought I wouldn't understand it. So is that what you would do with people? Would you tell them that? I mean, I wouldn't want anybody to go through what I went through. I was petrified of this man, and he wouldn't hurt me for anything. He was so gentle.
Right.
And I didn't realize that until quite a few years down the road, because I probably saw him. They really didn't let me see him. That was another mistake they made. Because I was like 6 or something, and then maybe when I got to be 9 or 10, they talked about him. That's when I decided, well, I'm going to go up and see him. Nobody
right.
stopped me.
Yeah.
Nobody stopped me, But did you explain to people? Because he could talk, but, Charlie can't, right?
Right. He can't, and he signs and gestures. And I'm the interpreter. That's also kind of the purpose of the books, was to introduce kids to those with differences in a wheelchair and not to be afraid of it because it's different and it's an unknown. And I know exactly what you're talking about. It happens to all of us when we are in unfamiliar territory and we don't know what to do. And we freeze up and we try to avoid. And that's what some people who freeze up, they will try to ignore Charlie and avoid him. And I understand it. I'm not mad. I'm not angry about it. I understand. But having him out in the community, having these books, one way to continue to work to break down those barriers. It's not going to happen overnight. But the more that others can be exposed to those with differences and special needs, then the better they're going to be in the long run because they're not afraid. And I understand the fear. I do understand. He's nonverbal. He says things, and I know what he's saying, and they say, are you hungry? I'm like, no, that means I'm sorry. And they just don't, because it's a different sign. And he's saying I'm sorry because he's getting overstimulated.
Right.
You just have to understand where he's coming from.
I'm just thinking too. I had a girl that lived next door to me when I was small, well, you know, until I was about 18, something like that. She was deaf, and they said she was dumb. I mean, that's what they used to call them, deaf and dumb.
Right.
And
yeah.
And everybody was afraid of her too, except for me. She
right.
taught me how to communicate with her, because when she talked, and I'm telling people this because don't be afraid, you know. Like for Charlie, it's the same thing, just a little bit different, that's all. But she showed me how to mouth the words so she could understand. And I was the only
uh-huh.
one out of the whole neighborhood. And that was when the neighborhood was filled with lots of kids, all different ages, you know. And
uh-huh.
she would give me a hug, and she'd say thank you, because she knew nobody even tried
uh-huh.
with her. Nobody.
Right.
So you
right.
know, and this brought me back, and so he has these little. It's not like sign language. Have you ever tried to teach him that? No.
Oh, he does. He does sign language. That's what he does.
Okay, so he can say goodbye
he does sign
or hi or something, right?
Well, he actually can say bye, and it's pretty funny because he actually does say bye. It's like one
okay.
of the few words he can say.
Okay.
But he does say thank you, which he touches his hand to his chin and back and forth, and that's the sign language of thank you, and it's also you're welcome. He does eat. He does more. I mean, he's got about 50 or 60 different signs, and some are American Sign Language, and some are Charlie Speak. He's made them up in his word association, and that happens a lot in the signing world. There's a lot of slang. Of this means this because of this relationship. It's not American Sign Language, but it is relationship sign language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of look at it and go, well, you know, he's pretty smart to have figured it out, because he wants to communicate and be social. He loves going out, you know, the book Going to Waffle House and
yes,
going
yes,
to the
we'll
barber shop. He wants to be social and interact with everybody and just basically love on people. He's totally just all about loving and accepting and giving hugs, and it's really kind of funny. But
has he grown? I mean, is he like a 26-year-old would be?
Well, he's. thank goodness he's not at 100. He's not what a 26-year-old would be. He's probably about 115 pounds and about five
okay.
feet tall, because I
okay.
have to lift him and transfer him from his wheelchair to the bed.
Well,
back
you can
and
tell
forth.
Him you met somebody that's 102 pounds and she's 5 foot
okay.
one. 5 foot
well,
two.
There you go.
Man, 5 foot two. Yeah, that's me. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I'll take 102. He needs to lose some weight.
Yes, absolutely. Now tell me, how did your wife manage this?
Well, we managed it together, and you know, just really it was a team effort, and we've always been on the same page with him and his care and everything that Charlie needs. We would do, and you know, we made it work for him and what he needed, and it's just a team effort. And you also have to realize that he takes up time, so you have to make sure that you're giving other time to the other two kids, and that
yeah.
they have importance, and that they have priority, and that we're showing up to their ball games and their events. So it's a balance, but it's a balance that you have to do, and to make sure everyone feels included and everybody gets their time.
Yeah, well, that gets to be tough as they get older, because there's more requirements, right? I mean, they, kindergarten, all that, grade school, but then they start to grow and get older, and then they've got homework, and then you said one of them went to college and graduated, right?
One's graduated and one's a junior. And,
okay.
you know, so like some of the things, and I'll just give you an example.
They have to be, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm getting these thoughts. They have to be special kids themselves. Your whole family is. And
yes.
you can't tell me they're not. They are. They are.
They are. And what we did for them was when they were in middle school, and you know, middle school's tough.
Yeah.
They get embarrassed. You know, they get embarrassed with the special needs brother. And I understand it. Again, don't get mad. Understand.
Right.
And so what we started doing was instead of taking him to their ball games, we started hiring a caregiver to stay home with Charlie so they could have some independent time and be their own person versus
right.
just always having the special needs brother. And that was fine. Again, it's being accepting of understanding that the kids need to not have it be all the time in their world. You need to make accommodations for them too, so that it's not just always about Charlie.
Exactly. And that is so true, because they are not like him, and that
right.
there has to be a separation. Because if not, then they're going to be resentful. Well, our world has
exactly.
to revolve around him, and that's not fair to them. But I'm sure,
right.
listening to you, I'm just sure the world is very beautiful. I mean, look, you got two in college. My goodness, right? Oh, one graduated already, right?
Right, yeah. She's out, and she's working and doing great work. And I got one left, and he's doing very well. And, you know, proud of them both and all they've accomplished. And the individuals, they are on their own, and they both shine each individually. So it's I'm very blessed.
Now, how is his food? I mean, does he eat just about? I'm just picking this apart because I want the listeners to understand what it's like. I mean, I was around two people not quite like Charlie, but the girl next door was isolated only because nobody took the time. Well, they did eventually because I had to have a little group meeting. They did eventually. You can tell, boy, she's the boss of the neighborhood. Just shut up and sit over there. I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. But anyways, you know, people don't realize it's not, they're really not different. They're people. They just have little special needs. That's all. So you adapt. You really adapt.
Right.
And if you can't, then we don't want you in our world. We want you to take a hike, because all you're going to do is hurt him in the long run. And we don't want that for him. I mean, you don't want to shelter him.
Right.
He's got to, I mean, does he ever get upset about things? Because he understands. I'm sure he does. I mean, does he know what being mad is? Does he know if somebody doesn't like him?
he doesn't know. Well, most people like him. He doesn't.
I wish I could see him.
Well, Charlie is the sweetest person and sweetest individual in the world until he isn't. And when he isn't is when he doesn't get what he wants to go to Waffle House, or he doesn't get to stay out longer, or it's time to go to bed, and he's going to resist and fight and hold down his wheels on his wheelchair so you can't push him anywhere.
Uh-huh.
So, yes. He has definitely a very strong opinion of what he wants and when he wants to go. And, yes, that is part of managing it. But he is very, very opinionated of what he wants. But it's what he wants to do and when he wants to do it. So,
yeah.
You know,
now I just thought of a cousin. Isn't this weird? I'm remembering all these things. A cousin that I had that – all he wanted to do was beat up on his sister, and there was something wrong with him. And I never knew that either. People kept things from me. I mean, they didn't realize how intelligent I was, that I could understand. Maybe I could have helped, you know, but I hope you don't do that with people. You know, just tell them. And you don't. I know you don't. I know you don't. But, you know, I was so that's three people in my life now so far that have had disabilities of one thing or another. Not like Charlie, but some unusual things. And if they would have just told me. Now, when somebody comes to your house, you tell them about him? I mean, you say, now we have a son, Charlie, and
oh,
I mean,
sure.
like.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And even when we go out to different restaurants, you know, I always introduce him to the server because
yes.
he wants, I mean, he wants a hug. He loves the servers. He loves them. And especially if it's a woman, he'll grab their hand and kiss their hand. I don't know where in the world he learned that. But he will grab their
that.
Hand and kiss their hand. And they're kind of shocked. I'm like, this is Charlie. And he just wants to say hello, and that's his way of saying hello to you. And it's really sweet. I'm kind of going, where'd you learn that one? But it's, you know.
He's watching something.
I hate to say it, but he wasn't watching me. It's not something I typically do. He somehow does that, and it's just because he loves people. He sees everyone without any judgment. And what I love about it is what I think one of Charlie's blessings to us is it's an opportunity for us to see unconditional love and acceptance and what it looks like and being modeled. And when you see it and live it,
yeah.
then you get an opportunity to copy it and say, that's what unconditional love and acceptance of others, no matter who, what, where they are,
right.
you're just accepting them and welcoming them and being inclusive. And he is that way. He's taught me to be better at that. He's taught others to be better at that. And I think for me, that's God's way of saying, I know this special needs person is different from all of you, but so am I. And I want you to see what unconditional love looks like. And you get
mm-hmm.
a chance to see it. And it's these kids with special needs, whether it's Down syndrome or Charlie's challenges or cerebral palsy or whatever it is, they all are so loving and accepting. And that's kind of the one common denominator I've taken away from this whole experience is these kids as they start and then obviously adults are just so accepting of others because they know the love of unconditional acceptance and they show it and they demonstrate it.
Now, he still goes to this school, this ALC Kids?
No, he's aged. I mean, he's 26, so he's. I mean,
oh yeah, that's right. He can't go there anymore. But are you in the Atlanta area?
We are, and we're strictly a preschool program. So we started 2 years old and go through 6 years old to through preschool and assimilate these kids into typical classrooms so that they can learn alongside their typically developing peers. And then we accept all kids and then helpfully get them into a mainstream classroom when they go to elementary school.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What a beautiful job. I mean, you know, something that I probably would have been good at. I understand people and I love to be with people, obviously doing the show and I can meet people. I mean, I can talk to anybody that I don't know. I didn't know you. And look at how we're talking like we've known each other forever. And that's the beauty of doing what I do. And, so that's that. And you are the executive director there. Is that what you said?
I am. I've been there 11 years.
Okay.
I didn't start the program, but I've been there 11 years. And Charlie was in the program 23 years ago.
Awesome. Now, well, let's get to your books. By the way, you can tell Charlie that I love the Waffle House. I love their hash browns. What does he like there? Anything,
oh,
right?
What does he like? When we go, we split the All-Star. He eats the waffle, half the eggs, all the bacon, and the toast with jelly. I'm like,
okay. This
kid eats so much food. I'm like, I'm eating just a little bit of it. I'm like, let me split this whole thing. And he eats most of it. He loves Waffle House. Then he wants another one. And I'm like, no, we're not having another waffle. So, no, he loves the Waffle House, and the people there are so great to him. And, you know, we have our regulars that we go to a couple different restaurants in Atlanta. But, yeah, it's actually the first book I wrote. It was the third one I published because I wanted to get it right when I was putting it together. But, Waffle House has been a very, very special relationship.
Well, tell him to try the hash browns.
Oh, he does. Oh, he does have the hash browns. Oh, he does.
I love them. Oh, my gosh, I love them. You know, we came from Michigan. That's where I was born and raised, and now I'm in South Carolina. But the thing of it is that when we would come down here, oh, we had to stop there. There's no doubt in my mind. And we saw one, and just walking in there, the smell. Oh, gosh. So I went to it lot. I went to them a lot. I really, really liked them and their eggs. And I'd like to watch them cook the stuff. We would sit, like, at the counter, and we'd watch this guy flipping all this stuff. And I was amazed. I was amazed at how so fast and so good they were. Okay, so now The Waffle House was not your first book. It was Charlie Goes to School. Was that your first book?
That was the first one I published. It wasn't the first one I wrote, but it was the first one I published because I wanted to learn how my illustrator worked and how things, you know, progress. So I did the first one, Charlie Goes to School, and was actually talking today to one of his teachers that's in the book. I was just actually talking to her online, and we're still, and that's been, she was his teacher 15 years ago. And we're still friends, and she's in the book. Her sons are in the book. I gave them all cameo. I got pictures of them, and I gave them cameo in the book. You know, I needed people in it, so I was like, well, let me put our friends in it. So
yeah,
I did that. I actually was talking to her today. And so I did the first one was Charlie Goes to School, and then the second one I did was Charlie Goes to Tommy's Barbershop. And again, my first thought was making these about local. And Tommy's Barbershop is an institution in Atlanta, in Buckhead, where I live. And I really wrote it to celebrate not only Charlie, but also his relationship with Tommy the Barber. And they've been there for 55 years in the same strip shopping center in Buckhead. And it was really to celebrate him as a person and how good he is with Charlie and how wonderful a person he is. And it was just kind of a fun book to do. And it gave me a second chance to do a book and see if I could do it better than the first. And it did improve because I learned how Doriel, my illustrator, worked. And then I made adjustments so that it worked well for her as well.
When you sent me the books, I read them right away, of course. I held them. I like to hold books. And I was so excited to have you on the show because you can tell I have a ton of questions. So did you know right away you were going to do a book about Charlie? I mean, what prompted you to do this?
No, I did not know. And, again, I wrote him when he was – I wrote him as if he was in, like, lower school, but I wrote him right after he was in middle school. So he was probably 15 or 16 when I wrote him, but I had him portrayed more when he was younger. And I'll be honest, they just came out of me. I just was sitting down, and all of a sudden it just came out. And I just kept writing them, and I'd write another one. And I'd write another one, and then I did five, and then I just sat there and didn't know what to do with them. And I talked to some different art teachers. I didn't know how to get them illustrated, published, or anything.
Right.
Excuse me. And so seven years ago, I was in the mountains of Western North Carolina. Walked into a store, and these two older women were there selling one of their books about Appalachia, North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
And one of them was the editor and the publisher, and the other one was the illustrator. And they would do these murals where one would tell the story. Amy, who's my editor and publisher, would tell the story, and the other one, Doriel, her sister, would make a mural while she told the story of Appalachia, North Carolina. And as I was talking to them about the book they were selling, with the author that was there in this little store. She said, well, we also do children's books. And I said, bing, 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 bing. Radar went up.
Here, here, here.
And I said, well, tell me a little bit more. And I got on her website, and her art was identical to what I had in my mind's eye that I wanted for these books. And I literally, it was a God wink. I didn't know what to do or how to do it. And these two women were able to basically do the whole thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I brought Charlie to meet them. We went up to Sylvan, North Carolina, where they were from. And I brought him to meet them. We actually met at a Waffle House. And Amy would lay out the book, and then Doriel would do the art. And then Amy would have it sent to the printer, and she would get the ISBN number. She would register it with the Library of Congress. I mean, did the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then you were published. And as she said, you are immortal.
Well, I don't know if you know what divine order is, but meeting these two ladies was all a setup, you know, because this is what I do. You had to be at the right place at the right time, and these books had to be done. So think of it this way. You know, okay, God's looking down at you, and I know you believe in God. I do with everything I have. Said, okay, well, we've got these manuscripts here now. We got to do something. He has to do something with them. So we'll just have him mosey on to North Carolina and place these two women where he's going to run into them. And you probably talk to everybody like I do. Hi, how you doing? You know, nice day and all that. And there you go. That's called divine order.
Yeah. Okay.
And I have goosebumps. And so it doesn't surprise me with you because of your special stories that you had to tell. You had to tell these. You know, and it didn't matter whether they became bestsellers or you just had to do it. A lot of it was for yourself, for your wife, and for Charlie and your other two kids. But it was an accomplishment, but you had movement from above. This was just not a spur. It was like, oh, gee, this is wonderful. How did this happen? Well, this is how things happen, and I tell people this all the time, and that's why I tell people to believe. And so, yes, absolutely. I'm so proud of you, and I don't even know you. I mean, you know, I've never met you. So you did the first book. Now, you've got five of them. Now, there's two more. What are you going to do with those?
Well, I mean, the next one, so after the Waffle House, Charlie Goes to Waffle House, we did Charlie Plays Baseball, and that's with a special league where a lot of the typical kids that play at the same league where they're playing on regular baseball teams, they come and help all the special needs kids in their wheelchairs and walkers on Saturday morning, and they help them throw and bat and push them around the bases. It's called Christopher League. Also, many people might know it as Challenger League. And so they help them all play baseball, and it's just kind of – it's very fun. We have two teams. They play against – you know, they play against each other, and it's just a lot of fun, lots of cheering and happy smiles, and the kids love it, and it's a beautiful thing. And that was my fourth book. And that also, if you read through that book, my dedication to Coach Leo, that was really about him, about all he, you know, has done for those kids. It was an opportunity, again, to celebrate Charlie, but also celebrate those that had been so supportive of him and his life experience. And then the final book is Charlie and the Half Marathon.
I'm looking at that one,
Pushed him in a dozen of half marathons once a year in Atlanta. And we learned that from a father-son team named Dick and Rick Hoyt, who were out of Boston. Dick recently passed away at about 80, but he was pushing his son Rick in Ironman competitions, and that's how we learned to do it, or got wind of how to do it. And we put Charlie in a jogger. We, friend of mine, we pushed him in the our first half marathon back, I think, in 2006. And then some other friends of mine who I dedicated the book to, Brent and Kyle Peace. Brent is the brother who pushes his brother Kyle, who has cerebral palsy and was at the Adaptive Learning Center 30 years ago, in Ironman competitions, and they've competed in the Kona Ironman competition. They just did the Boston Marathon a month or so ago.
Now, are those special events for people that have disabilities?
They're not special events. They have a new classification that these guys got in there. We used to do it. We would jump in on our own and just kind of do it. I don't want to say illegally. We'd get our numbers and all that, but we didn't have a real starting position. Brent and Kyle got it to be called a wheelchair-assisted athlete. And it's a designation at the Peachtree Road Race in Atlanta. It's at the Publix Road Race. It's now in the Boston Marathon. It's at the Kona Ironman. It is the wheelchair-assisted athlete is an actual classification. And those guys got it done. And I dedicated that book to them because they have really picked up that torch from Dick and Rick Hoyt. And we've all done it together, but they are the ones that really promoted it and did a great job of inclusion with kids with disabilities not able to run or walk and participate in half marathons, full marathons, and Ironman competition or triathlons, whatever you want to, you know.
Right,
a lot
and
ones.
People don't know that. That's when you do different events. It's a different, you know, in the regular ones, you'll ride a bike, you'll walk, you'll whatever, but that's what it is. It's a, that kind of marathon is with different category, different things that you're going to do. You know, what amazes me, I saw this man. I look at my feed all the time on my phone, and I saw this, I don't know how old he was, 86, 92, I don't know what he was, but he was doing a run. He was in an event with all these young guys, right? And, you know, he obviously couldn't run. I mean, I don't even think I could run him. I used to play tennis. I don't know. I guess I could. But he could not run. He just was barely moving. And that man finished the race. You know,
right.
And then I know you've seen this where some struggle to get to the finish line. And every once in a while you'll see somebody, like probably you or I would do, you'd stand back and you'd wait for them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that makes my heart feel so good that there are people out there. And I know you would do that. I know I would do that. I mean, I know many who would do that, that care so much. And it's not all about winning.
No.
You know, it's something else. It is, I have goosebumps. It's something else. And to me, that would make me feel so good. I would be jumping for joy, you know.
Well,
but that happens a lot.
Let me tell you a story about the New York Marathon. So Kyle and Brent went to run the New York Marathon. And I went up there to watch, and their jogger, special, you know, jogger that they have, broke. The wheel came off, the spokes broke. It was now a two-legged jogger, and there was no way. They went to a bike shop, fixed it. They're in the middle of New York City Marathon, and he's pushing him. And this other man and woman, not a couple, they just stopped. And they held where the other wheel should be.
So
they
he
gave
could go.
Up their time so he could go. I'm watching them on my online app, and I can't figure out why. Like, Brent's a world-class athlete. He can do a half marathon pushing Kyle in an hour and a half. When I push Charlie, it takes me 3 hours, but I'm, you know, slow Moses. But anyway, I'm going, where are they? Like, what's taking so long? Well, I didn't know. The wheelchair had broken. They were trying to get it fixed. And this man and woman stopped their marathon, and they literally were the third wheel for another 12 miles for Kyle and Brent so they could finish. It took them 7 hours, but they finished only because this other man and woman stopped. And then we got to meet them the next year at the Publix Marathon in Atlanta because they came to be their guests at a fundraising dinner that they had. And it was just such an honor to meet these two people who gave up their time, they've been training. They said, you know what, this is more important that this guy finishes this marathon.
Yes, yes.
Well, they aren't
exactly.
They're not going to win.
Yes,
they're not going to win. But to get your personal best time or whatever your goal is.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just was such an inspiring story. But yeah, Kyle and Brent, they persevere through thick and thin, and that was another wonderful opportunity for two people to step up and be heroes to somebody else.
There are a lot of people like that out there. At least I hope there are. I mean, I'm talking to one, and I'm one, and there's others, that would be happy to. My son is one. I mean, I'm just, but you know what, Charles? It's not everybody can do that. Not everybody is like that, or else this world would be a much better place. When you do something like that, you can't tell me that you're not earning points. Because I always tell people this, and they're probably laughing. It's like you have a piece of paper. You have a line down the center, pluses and minuses, and you better have a lot of pluses, or you're not going nowhere. That's what
I feel I've been so blessed in so many ways that the best thing I can do is share it with others. And
that's right.
Sharing Charlie with others is a way to give back to him, to give back to the special needs community, to make him more of a typical person of society that is embraced, and people can embrace the differences versus, everybody's got to look the same and do the same and be the same. It's like if we were all the same, what a boring world it would be.
Oh, it certainly would. I just wish a lot of us had the same qualities, a little bit of them anyhow. But I have faith in mankind. I really do. So, and sometimes people will see somebody do something and then they'll think, well, I never thought I could do that. Or why didn't I do that? Why didn't I help? Helping people at the stores or whatever. And you see people going about their business with their head up in the air, and you do this. I know I do it. And Candy's listening. She's the one that marketed everything about you. She put it all out. You need to look around and see what's in your surroundings and stop and say, gee, I wonder if that person needs some help. Because one day maybe you're going to need help.
Well, there's always an opportunity to serve and help others.
Yes.
And you just have to be ready. I learned from a minister. I love this story. This minister's wife, she carried a plastic bag in her purse. And when somebody I love this. When somebody complimented her on her purse, she took all of her belongings out, put them in the plastic bag, and handed the person the purse and said, it's yours.
Oh, when she was grocery shopping, you mean?
Yeah, if she was grocery shopping or at the mall or whatever. But if somebody said, oh, I love your purse, she would have that plastic bag ready and take out all her personal belongings out of the purse, put it in the plastic bag, hand the person the purse, and say, it's yours. And
wow.
I thought, coolest thing in the world. And so what I did was I love T-shirts, and I would have all these great T-shirts, and people would say, I love your T-shirt. And I would say, great. I wouldn't necessarily take it off right then and there, but I would give them the T-shirt. And the reason is because that lets you know that they will always remember that you gave it to them, and that T-shirt doesn't have a hold on you, that you can enjoy it and give it away. Like, you've enjoyed it for a time, now give it away to somebody else and let
them
enjoy
it. And they might just do that. You gave it to them, now they're going to think about it, and maybe somebody's going to make a comment, and they're going to give it to them. So this T-shirt is going to make the rounds. It's another
right.
book
it's
for you,
a,
Charles.
You know, yeah, it's just kind of a way to not have things own you.
Yeah.
That you have the freedom to give them up. And when you have the freedom to give them up, then God will bring other things for you to fill that void, but it doesn't own you. It's like, yes, it's a cool T-shirt. I've worn it for a number of years. You like it.
Yeah.
You have it. You enjoy it. I'll find another one somewhere else.
Right.
I just love that example that minister taught me of how his wife was prepared to give. And that was the point. Being prepared to give, like keeping money in your pocket when you see somebody on the street and they ask you for money, you have the money ready to give them. And I know we all say, oh, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do this. Well, you know, who am I to judge? Okay? I've wasted a lot
true.
Of money on a
yeah.
lot of stuff, too.
We have a lot
so,
on the corners
know,
here. Yeah. And you do, too.
So, you know, yeah, just my whole point is be ready to give. And if you're ready, the opportunities will come. What's frustrating is when somebody wants some cash and needs some help, and you're not ready because you haven't thought about it in advance. You're not prepared. So those are as individuals to get ready to help others, so that we're on the front lines of helping others versus standing there going, you know,
right,
and,
right. Right. Or, you know, you take the last that's on the shelf and somebody's right behind you and they want it for somebody. You know, my son does that all the time. Here, you can take it. And he goes without it.
Yeah. I don't need anything that bad.
No. 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 No, 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 no. No, you have to have the right attitude, the right stuff inside, and you know, Charles, you have to believe. See, you had the background, so you could believe. I was raised in a cat, you know, as a Catholic. It doesn't mean that I learned everything from them at all. I didn't. It was
sure.
as I got older, I figured it out for myself. Well, I had
yeah.
guidance. I had what you couldn't see, but I could see. So I think you and you appreciate so much. And part of it is Charlie. You know, and how scary that must have been when your wife was expecting the second one. Did you ever have thoughts like, maybe we'll have another one like Charlie?
Well, actually, we got some, when she was probably at about 6 months gestation, we were still looking to figure out, like, what happened, like, what's going on. And
right.
we got a doctor that said, we think Charlie has this degenerative disease called Krabbe's, and it's degenerative, and he'll probably be gone in 6 months. And your other the child, you probably will have the same thing, and you might want to consider aborting the pregnancy. And we just looked at the doctor and said, "Well, you're out of your mind, and
yeah,
no,
bye.
We're not doing that."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
if that's the cards we've been dealt, then that's what we've been dealt, but we're not terminating the pregnancy. And they were wrong. You know, Charlie didn't die in 6 months. And we really investigated Krabbe's. And we would go, and they were like, he doesn't have it. And so we said, yeah, it's not he's not degenerative. And, you know, 25 years later, he's still going at it. So they're not always, I mean, I appreciate them, but they're not always right. And, you know, we just didn't feel that was the path that we wanted to go down. So, yes, we were confronted with it, but for us it was not an option that we were even close to being comfortable with.
And sometimes it skips. Now, what about the last one you had? Did you have any concerns at all, or were your fears all, you know, nah, okay, we're going to do this anyway. It doesn't matter.
I think my wife did. I did not. I just didn't have it. I wasn't afraid. I'm not afraid of Charlie. I was never afraid of Charlie. And if you had two of them, then it meant you have two of them. There are plenty of parents who have two or three kids with autism. And
exactly.
Have,
I have one across the street
this
that
is
has
what
it. But,
is.
Yeah, but he's he's little. He's, I don't know, maybe he's like 8 or 9 years old, and I didn't know it. And the guy that came over to give me more stuff on my computer and everything, he works with the father, and he said, "You didn't know that?" I said, "No, I would never have known it." Looking at him, he talks to me, hi, but autism is different. It's not like being in a wheelchair. It's a little different.
But you couldn't see it. Not easy either. Well, that's one of the challenges, is when you can't see it, but they behaviorally act different, and most people are going, well, they're not disciplining their child. They're not doing this. Like, what's wrong with them? Well, you know, with Charlie, we always said, hey, the wheelchair is the get-out-of-jail-free card, because the minute you see the wheelchair, they stop asking questions. And when I first started pushing him in these half marathons, I was doing it in a jogger, and I would get the ugliest looks from people, because you're not supposed to push your children in joggers in these events. And I said, oh, I get it. They think I'm just pushing a typical kid. So the next year I pulled out the wheelchair and I pushed him in his wheelchair. Well, then they didn't ask any questions, because they go,
you were actually helping him jog.
Oh, I was pushing him in his, I mean, I was jogging in his jogger. I mean, he's riding in it.
Yeah, okay. I got you.
People thought I was just pushing my typical kid in a jogger and doing the half marathon. You're not supposed to do that. Like, don't bring your dog either.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. I was wanting him to participate, but it was the only way I could do it. Well, then the next year I just said, well, I'm going to push him in the wheelchair. It was a lot harder, but I didn't get all the nasty looks, and people were like, oh, okay, I see. I understand what's going on here.
Ah, people, huh? I'd like to just put a sign up and say, just shut up. Have you noticed, and I'm asking all my guests, that people are so much more opinionated these days?
I don't know. I mean, I guess they are. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Maybe it's just we can see it. We didn't hear it and see it before.
Well, I think what it is, too, is that a lot of people have been confined that were not confined. And so they've got all this in them, and they have to speak up. They have to express themselves, which there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
There isn't.
But are you going to do another book?
Well, I don't know, and I'll tell you why. I've written it. It's basically called Charlie Goes to Church, but tragically, my illustrator 4 weeks ago had a stroke. It doesn't mean I won't do it, but finding someone else, it won't look the same.
Right,
that
you
won't
have that spirit either. It's the first thing, the spirit of that illustration, that stuff. Yeah, I got it.
Well,
so she cannot
do it
at all?
Well, right now she's still in the hospital on a feeding tube and not able to speak or swallow or move. And it just was heartbreaking to me, because it's somebody, you know, that I've obviously grown close to doing these books. And the interesting thing is the publisher, the name of the publishing company is called The Spirit of Appalachia. That's the actual publishing company. So you're right. It is the spirit. And it's just been devastating to me personally to know that she is where she is right now. We've obviously been praying and thinking about her. But I was so thankful to get that fifth book done before something like this happened. And I'll be honest, I was concerned that if I didn't get on it and get it done, I might be regretting it. And I'm so thankful that I did get that fifth book done, because I was kind of sitting around waiting, and I think God put it on my heart and said, you need to get this done now.
See that?
And thank God I did. And I just love Doriel. She is just an absolute wonderful woman. She has been fantastic doing these books. And she'll tell me, she's like, you know, I feel like I've been with Charlie for the last 3 months, because he's all over my studio as she does the pastels that she does of the illustrations of the book. So it's been a very special relationship. Yeah, it is. It's been a very special relationship.
Now, I want to tell people about your site, and that is adventureswcharlie.com.
Right, all one word.
That's, yeah, the W, yes. And then also, if they want to look into the Adaptive Learning Center, which is the ALCKids.org. I mean, you can see everything there of what's going on. Now, are these all over the United States, these kind of programs?
No, we're strictly in Atlanta. We're in 13 different individual preschools. It's a very labor-intensive, micromanaging program to serve kids with special needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lot. We've grown, since I've been there, we've grown from 4 schools to 13 over the last 10 years. It's just a lot to manage. We've talked about how do we scale it, and it's to scale something that's so individual with so many individual different kids and different challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But we're working on it, and we're trying to serve the Atlanta community and serve it at all levels of economic.
It's huge.
Serving at all levels of economic income. So
I don't know how many people are there, but I'm only like 15 minutes from Savannah, and there's a million people that live there. So I can imagine.
You're in Bluffton, right?
Yes.
There's 6-7 million in Atlanta, as you know, so it's crazy.
My granddaughter just got accepted to SCAD, which is the Savannah College of Art and Design. And she got a scholarship.
Congratulations.
But you know, that school is not, it offers a lot. I mean, it's, you can't imagine all the things that you can do, but you know what she's really likes? She's so much like me. She likes doing little dioramas, and she likes miniatures. And she told me, and I don't know why I'm telling you this, there's a reason for it. She said to me, I walked around, and when I got, because they have a movie lot that they're finishing up, I don't know, 80,000, whatever it is. And the big productions, the big companies are going to go there and do films. Well, they do a lot in Savannah anyhow. But she said to me, I said, oh, so you want to go into film? She said, no. She said, what I saw, she said, I know you're going to like this, is they do these little miniature, to scale, little small movie sets. And then they do the big ones. She said,
oh, wow.
That's what I like. I mean,
I love
she
it.
Never, I didn't know that at all. But
yeah,
but
that sounds wonderful.
It's just, she's graduating in June, and it's just, I don't know. But Charles, where does the time go? Even with Charlie, you know what I'm saying? Look at him. I mean, where does the time go?
As I say, the days are long and the years are short.
Yeah. Well, I always tell people, once you see your child go to school, poof, it's gone already. Goodbye. It's going to go so fast. And it does. That's what happened to me.
It does. It does. It does go fast.
I have just loved having you on the program. I really have. And I have a lady that's listening also, besides Candy. She's in the chat room. And she's put some stuff in here. What did she say here? Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, she didn't have, they only allow you to put so much in, and she put in about Charlie in there to add the second website. She apologizes that she didn't put that there. I knew it. I knew it. So I pulled
it
up on one of my monitors, and that's why we can talk about it, because it's wonderful. It's just wonderful work that you do. Give Charlie a hug for me and tell him,
I will.
Natalie eats hash browns from Waffle House. And whenever I go there again, I'm going to think of him.
I will.
And,
well, you're so kind. You're so kind.
Yeah, and all the beautiful people that you've encountered. And also, I'm going to get a hold of Kim. Of course, I can get a hold of you. I have your email address and your phone number now. I'm going to want to put something in at least one or two issues of my magazine about Charlie. I guess that's going to have to come from you, because Kim will just, she'll just use whatever she's had, if it comes from you, it's from you, and I'll know.
Right.
And I would really love to do that, you know, and yeah, okay, I'll contact you. I think it would be, oh, yes, I have goosebumps again. Yes, this is wonderful. I love it. You don't know how important that is to me. Yes, because it's another little good deed that, and I you can tell him you're up on a site, you're up in a magazine. I'm sure he's been in a magazine already, but mine is unique. I just got somebody else that wants to do something. They said, oh my God, we looked at your magazine, we can't believe what you have. That too is pretty old. I started that in 1999. And it was always considered to be, I thought it was my dark horse, the one that would always come from behind. And it has.
Right.
It has.
That's awesome.
It has.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and you're awesome. And I'll be in touch via email and do what I told you to do for Charlie, please.
I will.
And your
Thank
lovely
you so
wife.
Much for having me.
And she must be a doll because she was right alongside with you through all of this, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Always right alongside, yep.
Well, you can give her a hug, too, for me.
Yep.
And tell her to hug
yep.
you for me. I love it. Oh, gosh, you're a sweet man.
You're so sweet.
Okay, well, with that, we're going to close this up. And thank you, and you'll be hearing from me in email. And everybody, you know, I'm going to do my little thing again. Please be safe. Be careful out there. Do what you feel is right. I'm not telling anybody what to do, but do what you feel is right. And, you know, and do the things like Charles and I do. Help people. Go out and help people if you see them struggling. And think about the T-shirt. Think about something in your wallet or in your pocket if you're a man or in your purse. What can you give? So.
Yeah.
And I always end my show this way, Charles, is believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And we're going to play this song. It's called Free to Love. Boy, that's appropriate, isn't it? Free to Love. And that's from Gabby Ray. And she's like our signature little singer there. She's, I believe she is from, oh, dance party. Candy, is she from South Carolina too? Now, my Candy is in Myrtle Beach. Let me see. Yes, I think so. I think she is, or she's in North Carolina. Anyway, so it's good. Okay, Charles, I'll let you go. Have a great evening. And
thank you. You too.
We'll talk to you again, I'm sure.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much for having me. It's been great to meet you.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay,
bye-bye. So everybody, she spent her youth in Myrtle Beach. Okay. And we're going to play Free to Love right now. So you can, you know, sometimes we have some programs that might make you think a lot, but we're going to pick up the speed right now. Oh, she was born in Massachusetts. So here we go, Free to Love.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination, this world could show all its colors. So get the chip off the shoulder. Everybody come on now. Be free.
Okay, everybody. Now, remember, we won't have a show next week, but we will have one on, I'm going to tell you, December 27th. That'll be a Monday, and then we have another one on Wednesday the 29th, and then January is already getting super busy, which, you know, I love that. I love doing that. So we're going to just, you know, I'll have my granddaughter here. We're going to bake some cookies and just spend some time together and talk to her about school and all that kind of good stuff. So anyways, thank you, Candy, for doing all you do. You do an awful lot. She's just kicking it all out there. I like this riddle. I have to tell you this. If all the cars in the nation were pink, what would we have? The answer is a pink carnation. Isn't that the cutest thing? I don't know where she came up with that, but anyways, that's to leave you with a little bit of funniness that I coming from me, and I don't tell jokes. But anyways, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there, and we will see you on the 27th. Have a very nice Christmas and a happy holiday. And remember, I love you. Bye-bye.